So I'm just looking at.
Today is Saturday, December 11th. And I know we said last time that the last one was going to be our last one, but we just ended up watching the Game Awards last weekend. No, sorry, it was Thursday. So welcome to the Northern Nerdcast. We are not sponsored by GameStop, where you can find games such as Madden 13 for 89 cents.
Nice.
Yeah, my wife was in there and I told her, I said, get me something Vita, I don't care. And that was all they had. It was 99 cents, but because I'm an Onyx member, I got it for 89 cents.
Oh, nice.
But it's got the EB seal of authenticity, so you know it's GameStop sealed. So it's legit, okay? Don't at me there, guys.
Well, Brad, that just sounds like a real no-brainer to me.
Oh yeah. They still think I live in Sudbury because that's what it says on my membership when you punch in the number. They didn't spell Sudbury right and they put Sudbury. So joining me as always are the eponymous heroes, Adam, aka Svenny McGee, and Clayton, aka the Iron Hobo. You don't have to flash peace signs. This is audio only.
Oh, yeah. But, I don't think I was in that part of the conversation.
It's all good. Guys, what's going on?
Not much.
It's snowing. It's snowing like crazy, and it's got to stop snowing.
Are you serious? It's raining here. It's been raining all day. I mean, like torrential thunder and lightning, literally.
See, we had a sprinkle of rain and then like almost instantly it turned into like the fattest flakes of snow. And it started yesterday and then we had a snow warning from last night through to tonight. So it's just been like a nonstop.
Keep talking. I'll be right back. I just got waved. So I'll be right back. Keep talking.
You got her. That's how much Brad cares about my weather story.
Well, nobody but comes here for the weather.
That's right. That's why we're here on this video game podcast talking about the weather.
Yeah. What have you been playing? What have I been playing? I've been playing Dead Cells and League of Legends Wild Rift, which burned up all the data on my phone, apparently, according to some people.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. I've got into the habit of watching, or not watching, listening to YouTube videos in my car while I'm driving back and forth to work. And I think it's been using a lot of data on my phone. So anyways, like a week into my billing cycle for my phone, I used 12 gigs of data.
Wow.
So of course I've been playing Wild Rift and so there's some debate as to whether it's the game or it's the videos, but man, YouTube chews up your
oh yeah. I used to do that too. When you're driving and all of a sudden you get like a two commercial bump in a row, you're like, I can't afford this. Cut it out.
Exactly. I'll buy your stuff. Just I can't afford the ads.
Get off of that right now.
Yeah. You're going to literally cost me money now. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's good. Adam, what if I had to step away for a sec. Clayton, I know you were probably talking shit, but actually, you know what? It was probably Adam.
Yes. No, I would. I asked him what he's been playing lately. And so he was just describing the woes of the mobile gaming when you're away from a central Wi-Fi space.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I came in at the wrong time. That's why I'm just like, get off of here. Cause I have no idea what you were talking about. So have you been playing anything since the last podcast, Adam, anything new?
I don't believe that I mentioned the Fortnite update. I've actually had a couple matches in it and got to play some of it, experience some of the new things. I've seen people web slinging, sliding. Those are some of the new mechanics. Today I played my very first and got decimated until I started to figure it out a bit was Halo Infinite. I started playing that too online.
I downloaded the multiplayer when it came out because it didn't cost anything.
Exactly.
And I don't know, I hear mixed things about the campaign. I hear that the characters and the story arc and everything is kind of flat, but at the same time I hear that the moment-to-moment gameplay is really good. But I mean, honestly, like, I followed the Halo games right from the first one, and the writing for the 343 games has not been as good. Like, it just isn't. And as big of a fan as I am, and I always try to give them, when it comes to the gameplay and the graphics and stuff, I always try to give them, like, the, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt and everything, because honestly, like, by the time Bungie made Reach, I felt like they were phoning it in. The graphics,
because they were more concerned about Destiny, which is also a phoned in game.
The graphics in Reach were not great. And then when I saw what 343 did with Halo 4, I was like blown away by how good it looked.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a testament to how good it looked that when the Master Chief Collection came out, and they bumped the quality of Halo 4, that it didn't really look any different, because it already looked so good, you know. But the stories, like, oh my God, Halo 4, we had a throwaway enemy in the form of the Didact, who was literally a throwaway enemy, because the last boss of the game, when you faced off against him, was a QTE battle, which is like, if for anybody who's, you know, not been gaming that long, who doesn't even know what a QTE is, for a while there, the landscape was littered with those quick time events. After God of War, that was the whole boss fight, was a QTE, and it was just ridiculous. And then in Halo 5, obviously, like, we lost Cortana at the end of 4, and then they retconned her and brought her back for 5, but they twisted her around and messed it all up and everything. And it just, I don't know. This, and then there was Spartan Locke, and nobody cares about Spartan Locke. Spartan Locke is like the Svenny McGee weather story of nobody's here for it.
Enough, everybody just gonna walk away from it.
Yeah, it's
a... Oh, you're talking about weather in the Sioux? Click off.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know.
I've been playing right now. I took a pause on Mafia 3 and just going hard at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah, you were saying
it's so good. Like the combat gets a little bit repetitive. Like it's trying to think. Like it would be. I think it would be a lot better if you could do more than one player. Like, it's meant to be a single player game, but because like you give commands to the rest of the galaxy, the Guardians. But you play as Star-Lord. You can't switch any other characters because it's his story essentially. Mm-hmm. But I think like if like you or Adam were able to jump in as like a supporting role where you take control of Groot or Rocket or whatever, I think it'll be a lot more fun. But I don't know, Drax is like, but I mean, Drax, just like in Batista's Drax from the movies, just it's so funny. Like his lines are not meant to be taken seriously, but because he's such a serious character, it's like, and this isn't a spoiler, but Gamora says that she considers the Guardians her family. And Peter Quill goes, oh, does that mean you love us? And she's like, no, I didn't say that. He's like, yes, you did. You said you were in love with us. And I was like, oh, this is like comic book writing. But it was just really, really well done. And the chapters are about anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour if you're like a completionist trying to get like all the additional suits and stuff. So for an action RPG, it's around 20 hours. I'm on chapter 13 of 16 right now. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm trying to get through that quickly because I'm hoping our season premiere for season 2 will be the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy. I did reach out to John McLaren, who plays Star-Lord. And he said that he's in, but he has to I have to get approval from ADOS, which is kind of, I mean, it is what it is. I guess there's still stuff that is coming down the pipeline that he can't talk about. But so I sent them an email. I said, I got your email from Star-Lord, and he recommended I reach out to you about possibly getting the cast on to talk about like coming together to make this game, amazing game, come to life. And actually John McLaren's from Ottawa, which is pretty cool, so we can talk about Ottawa as well. And he was also in, if you guys saw our last Nerd Chats with Paul Sun-Hyung Lee, who was in a Christmas movie. John McLaren was one of the ghosts of boyfriends past. He was one of the ex-boyfriends that visits the girl in her dreams to essentially. So there's that connection too. But let's get into the meat of what we want to talk about. And I know Clayton is hard on to talk about his thoughts on Sonic Frontier, but we don't have time to listen to a long-winded episode 8 breakdown here. So
yeah.
The Game Awards. Let's jump right into that, because I know Adam and I were streaming along with throwing his name out again. I'm telling you, Drew, you got to put me on your payroll, man. Drew and Scott and the crew at Inside the Game were streaming, and I stayed for the whole thing. I'm pretty sure Adam, you stayed for the whole thing. It's about 3 hours. I don't think it was a game show or an award show. Like, yeah, they had awards, but it was all world premieres. Or as Drew likes to say, world premiere. And then you take a shot, because I think by the end of the world premieres, if I had continued drinking and taking shots, I probably wouldn't even be awake to do this podcast.
That's exactly. But going into it, you had made that joke that, you know, watch how many world premieres show up. And then shortly thereafter, I saw Kotaku had written an article about the award show. And that was basically, they're like, in between the world premieres, they decided to have an award show. And that was basically the way they framed it, too. I mean, it was exciting. It was cool. Yeah. There was a lot of fun announcements. Like, there's no doubt. But it's funny that, you know, you made the comment that they had done a series of events prior to in the pre-show. And not... like insignificant awards.
No,
like
they were pretty big awards.
And yet they didn't include that as part of the main show. And yet literally, like, you sat through, like, you know, arguably 2 hours of a 3 hour show of commercials, so to speak, just to see who actually won.
Yeah. It's almost like they were like that Matt Damon joke. Oh, Matt Damon wanted to be here, but we ran out of time. Like, a lot of the awards that they had hyped up prior to the show to, like, weeks ago and everything, like, made it sound like they were going to do this real big award thing. Kind of like, I mean, I guess this can be compared to the Oscars. Like, this is the video game Oscars. But like they were hyping up the best RPG, and it was just an aforementioned thought, like, oh, congratulations, Tales of Arise, you won best RPG. It's like, you guys were hyping all this stuff up. Obviously, they want to get to the best actor, best voice performance and all that, which we'll get to shortly. And there were some awards that I didn't care about, like the best esports coach. Like, I don't care. Best esports athlete.
Best esports anything. It's like how does that fit in with...
And content creator of the year. Like, I guess if that's what you like, I guess technically we're all content creators, but like, it's not my career. I'm not editing for hours on end on 6 computers, adding video footage and stuff. I mean, I could, and I'm not knocking Adam, because like that's, he adds stuff in, but that's not what I do. That's not what you guys do. So like, I'm going to skip over all of that, because I don't even, no offense, I just, it I just care makes about me, esports events.
It just makes me think that that's like, that they're just trying to pull sponsorships, or they're just trying to drum up interest from the esports community, because esports, it sits on the, like, games like League of Legends and Dota 2 did not come out this year, but people are still playing them. You know what I mean? So they can't make a buck on the hype of esports based on the titles that are being released. They have to do it from the point of view of the people who are involved. So maybe they're just trying to pull that whole community into the Game Award shows, but they don't care about that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, who cares if he's the best coach? If he's the best coach, is he on the winningest team? You know, like, his credentials and his record are what, you know, differentiate him from the rest of the other coaches.
Yeah exactly. So
yeah, and I think that's it. Like, you know, I have nothing against esports, I just don't follow it. But like, are they gonna post, like, in an award show like this, the best, not even mobile game, but like the best casual mobile game? Because there might be a million people that play millions, 10 million people playing it globally, mm-hmm. like Candy Crush. But are any of those people, do they care enough to watch the Game Awards?
No, because they're on mobile.
They're casuals.
They don't care enough to watch the award show.
Like this. So then is it worth taking the time to make that one of your primary segments of your show?
They can't tune into the awards and stream it because they used all their data playing the games. Yeah. sorry. Oh man, you guys put your friggin' award show ceremony too late into the month, man. I already used all my data. I'm out. I can't watch it.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean. Like again, it's not a dig on casuals, esports, anything like that.
No, it just doesn't have a place.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's kind of weird how you have to choose where to put the filters in. And even like you said, Brad, if this was the Oscars, like I don't remember watching any Oscars where it just becomes a clip show for upcoming movies in the coming year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like a weird hybridization of everything. Yeah. But
I mean, Jeff Keighley did pull off an amazing show. But to me, like, again, it's like you said, this was essentially a continuation of their Games of Summer show that they did in the summertime, which is coming back. And like, it's arguably because E3 hasn't really, like they have done stuff, but it's because it's been online a lot lately in the past couple of years. It's almost like is it Games of Summer? Is it Summer Game Fest or something? But anyway,
Days of Play or something?
No, that's
Days
PlayStation.
Oh. Which one are you talking about?
The one that Jeff Keighley did in the summertime.
Summer
Game Fest or something.
Yeah.
But this almost seemed like a continuation of that, but they didn't want to here's my homework, but don't copy it word for word. Throw in some awards. I mean, it was like, again, it was very well done. There was a lot of awards that were no brainers. It was like, yeah, they're going to win. And then there were some that just came out completely, like where it was like, the game of the year, there's a lot of backlash right now, which we'll talk about once we go through some of the categories. I don't think we'll hit all of them, but we should hit the main ones. Like the very first one that I'm going to talk about, and this should come as no surprise to anybody, but the most anticipated game for 2022. Your category was God of War, Horizon, sequel to Breath of the Wild, Starfield, and Elden Ring, and Elden Ring won hands down. That's a no-brainer. I was kind of disappointed that they didn't really show anything for Ragnarok because it's coming out at the first quarter of 2022. We saw a lot of Horizon, but it's just, again, Clayton, you'll be all over this. I might dabble in it, but I hate Souls-style games, so I probably won't invest any time into Elden Ring, but I know you'll probably try and platinum it. But that was the most anticipated game for next year.
Honestly, like, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. All of those games are all like top tier AAA among the AAA titles. Elden Ring, I don't know. I've watched videos on it and stuff. It might end up being good. I have a feeling that the experience might end up being a little bit hollow because it's their first open world game. But honestly, who knows? I'm kind of just trying to save myself for when it actually comes out. Breath of the Wild 2 is obviously going to be a million seller, like no doubt about it.
But they don't even have a release date, so is it coming out next year? Like, is that confirmed?
They could say that, you know what I mean?
Like, they could say December 31st, 2022.
Exactly.
It's just a placeholder.
Exactly. And then God of War Ragnarok, well, obviously that's the hype train is real on that one too. Like, those are all really awesome quality titles.
I honestly think that Game of the Year next year is going to be, it's going to be close, like for the titles. But I think it's going to come down to Horizon versus God of War. That's my prediction.
I don't think Horizon. I think God of War, if Breath of the Wild drops, I think it'll be God of War versus Breath of the Wild.
God of the World.
God of the World.
And
God of the Wild.
I'll let you guys talk. Sorry, Adam, go ahead. Boy. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think there's some credence to that because the last time when Horizon Zero Dawn came out, nobody discounted that it's a great game, but it was still kind of overshadowed by Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild had a longer hype and everything like that, but it, you know, Breath of the Wild, just it's a more known franchise. Now, I don't know, but I would agree with Clayton that I bet you that goes through. Now, yeah. Drew had even said that on one. Drew,
you know what? Money, we got somebody. Somebody's got to create like a little sound clip that whenever someone says his name, it just says Drew.
Little but, dollar sign sound there.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
They had said on the show that, you know, it was too bad that Halo Infinite had launched so late in this year that it wasn't going to be in this Game Awards content here.
It won, so, though. It won an award.
Well, that's the funny thing. I was going to bring that up after, too. But
Sorry.
No, just will that... The problem is, coming out so late, will that even be in people's minds for Game of the Year for next year? People love it right now, but like Clayton said, is that campaign and stuff, is that going to start to run dry?
I think what it will win is it will be best multiplayer game.
Yeah.
I think that's what it'll win. Yeah. Again, I was talking with one of my buddies who lives in Ottawa, and we were both talking about Halo, and he's having a blast with it, but every game developer and their grandma is doing open world now. Like Halo Infinite. Once you get past the introduction stage, it's all open world. Sonic Frontiers is going to be open world. One can argue Mario Odyssey is open world, even though you're going to different worlds. Like, you can still run around everywhere. Guardians of the Galaxy, it's linear like Final Fantasy VII Remake, but you can still do more and you can explore more area.
See, and the thing that sucks about that is that, like, the idea of the open world works for some games. It works for the GTAs, it works for the Skyrims, and you can even argue that it works for the Marios and stuff, because they can insert different objectives at different times, right? Like in 64, when you were going after different stars, the level changed based on what your objective was, where your starting point was, and all that kind of thing. But when it comes to Halo, that's the kind of game that has a meticulously paced storyline. You know, they guide you through the story. There are large set pieces. There are big things that happen. You know what I mean? At specific places in the story. And I think that with the open world feeling, you lose that ability to guide things through at a certain pace. You know what I mean? And I feel like for me personally, like, I like when I play a Halo game and I'm playing the campaign, I like the well-crafted story. I want to be taken through that narrative. Yeah. And it always, with me though, I can never resist the urge in open world games to just go and do all of the side quests before I do the first mission.
Yeah.
I played through Far Cry 6. I did all the side missions. I completely liberated that entire island from all of the bad guys, everything. Castillo didn't have a chance. Then I got through like the second or third story mission, and I was like, oh man, this is so boring. I'm done. And I stopped playing it.
Did you get your email from him yet?
I don't know. Probably.
Yeah. They send out an email if you stop playing.
Yeah.
And they chide you.
You know what? He says, I'm waiting for you. But you know what? I know that's just a front, because I control the entire island. He actually doesn't have a military anymore. He just doesn't know it.
So then, the next award, which was a complete shocker to me, because I'm not knocking any category. I'm usually not an indie gamer, and it's just I like the bigger titles. I was shocked to discover that Kena: Bridge of Spirits is an indie game. Shocked.
Like, yeah, it's one guy, isn't it? Wasn't it one guy that made it?
I have no idea, but it's like so you weren't here last weekend, but I ended up getting a few gifts that I had to pick up at Walmart. And I was told not to look at them, so I didn't look at them, but I had to verify what they were when I went to pick them up. And that was one of them. But it's like Drew, was telling me that it's kind of like playing through an actual Pixar game.
That's cool.
So I'm really looking forward to it. But that game won best indie title. So like that, to me, that's pretty cool. I don't know if it would get me into indies again, nothing against those, but that's just not a category that I've ever delved in myself. So, but I'll be playing that in a couple of weeks, I think, after Guardians.
Yeah. I mean, congrats to them. And certainly it looks like a beautiful game. It looks like it was a company founded with two brothers. And like they said, it was a team of about 15, but that's like obviously considerably small. And yeah, like the game looks beautiful. It looks, like you said, pretty much like any of the other AAA offerings.
Well, and that's what shocked me. And like, and Drew was saying, like I said, I put an emphasis on that, Drew. Like he was really excited because I guess when it gives the studio hope to have a second game, it's like if they have backers, okay, well, we won an award. So yeah. You win an award, the chances, although they might still not be super high, you have a, I think you have a better chance of getting a sequel to a game that's won an award. So,
Well, absolutely. Or you get one of those one-offs where all of a sudden someone like Microsoft looks at you and just goes,
Yeah.
Pulls you in and suddenly you're now a Microsoft Game Pass exclusive game.
Exactly. Something. Yeah. So,
well, I'm pretty sure that Hello Games there, the guys who made No Man's Sky, basically got the AAA treatment when I'm pretty sure they were an indie studio when they were working on that game. Yeah. And that's why there was no way that they could keep up with the marketing that Sony was putting behind them. That game was building so much hype and it was just a very small studio that was working on it. And then when it came out, everybody's like, oh man, this is garbage. Like, holy God, like give these guys a chance. Yeah. They've managed to incorporate everything in that game, I'm pretty sure, that they said they were going to have in, and the game's gone through like numerous updates. It's had a ton of fan service. Like it has become the game that they promised that it would be. It just took a little while.
Well, and that's, yeah, I never played the original. I know when I was like heavier into collecting games, I thought like it was going to be one of those titles that, because it's not really, it was not a sleeper hit at the time, but typically games that don't sell well, that are not like high in production, are valuable. And again, Adam and I talked about this last week. I only have a couple games that I keep sealed. And the only reason being, if I have it on the Switch and I'm playing it on the PS4, or I know it's going to be a hard to find title, like Kentucky Route Zero, the value has already gone up. Amazon is sold out right now. But anyways, No Man's Sky definitely was not a good game when it first launched.
It was good.
It was not. It was not a good game. It was the newer version's better. This game,
yes, it is.
You know what? True. The old version was just like Final Fantasy 14 when it first came out. It was a broken game.
It was not broken. Everything was there. I played the crap out of it, man. It was just a little bit boring.
So, but talking about broken games, and I said I was only going to do two categories, but I'm going to do a third, and then I'll let Adam or Clayton, if you want to talk about some of the categories. Another one, we talked about this before, but best role-playing game. Like now, okay, role-playing is my jam. Like Drew and those guys, they always chide me. Oh, Brad would be into this because he likes those kind of weird things. Two of the titles in this category, I don't consider role-playing games, and I'm really surprised that one of them was even in this. And you talk about, will Halo have enough momentum to carry it to the next one? Cyberpunk 2077 is listed as a nominee for best role-playing game. It's not a role-playing game. If people could get past the fact that it is a first-person shooter with role-playing elements, and Monster Hunter Rise is not a role-playing game. You are hunting monsters, getting bigger weapons. It was down to me between Scarlet Nexus, Shin Megami Tensei 5, and Tales of Arise. Tales of Arise is an incredible role-playing game. Scarlet Nexus is an amazing role-playing game. I have not played Shin Megami Tensei, but if you like Persona, this is kind of like the parent version. It's like all monsters and stuff. Those are the only role-playing out of these five. And again, how can Tensei 5 be considered one of the best role-playing games of the year when it came out a week before the award show?
Mm-hmm. Are they not differentiating? Maybe they're not differentiating between Western style RPGs and JRPGs.
In general, like, because
and if Shin Megami Tensei
is not JRPG,
if Shin Megami Tensei is can be considered for best RPG, then surely The Ruined King can be too. And maybe, that is excellent. It is absolutely excellent.
Yeah,
for sure.
I just, talking about games that had just come out, Horizon, Yeah, the racing game. Horizon 5.
Forza Horizon 5. Yeah, it won
apparently
a couple
it's
awards,
one of the
it?
Yeah, it I think so, but it wasn't listed as game of the year. Yeah. But like you had like but I mean again, it just came out, so can it be nominated for something if it literally came out not too long ago?
Like I would think that if it was game of the year, like that it had to have been released, you know, and have been out for a year.
Yeah. It you know? Should.
It's not like, okay, well, the hype train's up on this one because it was out, you know, it was released, last week. No. It released 6 months ago and people are still talking about it kind of thing.
Well, that's the thing. Cause when we mentioned Halo, like they did a poll for players' voice and Halo Infinite won, and the game would released what, one day or two?
It came out Wednesday, literally the day before.
It shouldn't qualify until next year's awards ceremony.
Which might be why it was only player's voice, but still, go ahead.
I was going to say that was like a live vote. Like people, I think, were able to go in and do that. So, I mean, of course the hype is there because you just started playing it, but
yeah,
just what is the cutoff then? Like you said, where does it, you know, people have the longevity to go? Like if someone could release a game the day before, everyone bought it, and all that, like no one's had time to actually iron it out and say, oh, this game is not a good game, you know, like I don't know. It seems odd that, like you said, some of the credentials here, like, oh, the game's been out for a few weeks. And it's like, this one was awesome. And it came out in January. Like, it's not even looked at here. Mm-hmm. So
people's anybody memories wanted to, are too short.
Exactly. Does anybody want to take the next set of categories?
I'm not sure what the next set of categories is.
Adam, do you have the webpage up?
Yeah, I was looking at best fighting games. So Guilty Gear Strive 1. There was also Demon Slayer, Melty Blood, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, and Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown were the other contenders there. So I'll be honest, I like fighting games. I'm not awesome at fighting games, and I haven't really played many in a while. To get those smirks going here, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl was really the only one on here that I'm totally familiar with and that I actually want to play. I know the Guilty Gear games. I played certainly some of the Virtua Fighters, but the Nickelodeon one, I mean, obviously it's Nickelodeon's like Smash type of thing. Mm-hmm. They just announced Garfield as a playable character. I loved it as soon as I saw Powder Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy on there.
Yeah.
It looks like such a fun thing. Like I'm curious to try it out.
It's again, though, it's like splitting hairs between they're kind of lumping a whole bunch of things into one category too, right? Like you're talking about Smash type arena brawlers and mixing that up with the one-on-one action of something like Guilty Gear or Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, and you know definitely. What I mean? And that's the thing, like you can really probably butt mash your way through Nickelodeon, whereas certainly something like Guilty Gear is probably a lot more technical.
Well, I know that Virtua Fighter is obviously the grandfather in the room there. I can tell you that I played, like I'm a Sega guy from way back, so I've played almost all of them. And that game takes a long time to master. Like the control scheme, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like a chess game almost, but I don't think that the amount of people who are playing the Smash games like Nickelodeon are going to be playing the older style Virtua Fighter games. I'm surprised it was even actually listed, to be honest. Virtua Fighter 2 back in, what was it, 99? I think it was 98 or 99, actually won Game of the Year. It was a huge series back in the day, but it has been a very, very long time since Virtua Fighter has been at the top of the stack. So I'm surprised that it was even on the list.
Well, at least, like you said, it's being recognized for, you know, an actually like sophisticated fighting game. And that's the thing that this category didn't get dumbed down that much. That being said, it is weird to see the variance in titles here, but it is fun to see. Like it's something like Nickelodeon definitely should get a nod because I don't know what its sales numbers are, but it's got to be doing okay.
I think they're just setting us up to have Smash win that category any year that a new Smash game is released. Tell me that if a Smash game was released this year, that it would not have come in number one.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all just keeping the throne warm for Nintendo.
Keep going, guys. I'm just looking to see what was announced, so we can talk about that as well.
Best action adventure game. So we had Resident Evil Village, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Psychonauts 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Metroid Dread. And Metroid Dread was the winner there for best action. What do you guys think of that?
I'm not a best action game was won by Returnal.
Returnal? This best action adventures.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adventure. I clicked out. Okay, yeah. So they have two categories. Okay, good to know.
I was going to say.
There is a best action, and then, yeah, there's best action.
Sorry. Honestly, I have not played a Metroid since Super Metroid, so I have no comment about this.
I will say that Dread was awesome, but it's not the best. It's not the best Metroid game. But I didn't touch any of the others. What else was there?
Ratchet and Village. Clank. Village.
Village I started playing. I got a chunk of a ways into it, and it's good, and I like it. I think I burned myself out because right before that I played 7. So I played 7 and then I went right into 8, and I kind of got RE'd out because I'm not classically a zombies guy.
Let's just be honest. You were just terrified that Katie was going to come through the screen and murder you.
And try to kill me. That being said, I do know that the voice acting, the best voice actor was for the actor who played.
Lady Dimitrescu. We'll talk about that because we got to talk to one of the nominees. So.
And I will say that the voice acting in the game was really good and her character was spot on. But as for the other games, no, I never touched. I haven't touched any of the other ones.
Yeah, well, you don't have a PS5, so you can't play Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Ratchet and Clank was amazing. Like, I was so happy that I got it as for winning a contest that the ITG guys did.
Those games are always awesome, though.
It was, I could not stop putting it down. Like, I always used to get, okay, I'm going to a new world. I'm going to get a new weapon. Well, yeah, whatever. This was a completely different experience compared to all the other Ratchets. Like, once you beat the game, you can go do it again as New Game Plus, and then you Omega your weapons.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, but they always had, like, even as far back as the very first one, there was all kinds of, like, secret objectives.
Exactly.
And all this kind of extra cool stuff, and the writing was always top-notch. The humor was always bang on.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing bad to say about those games.
So, well, talk about some more awards in a few, but some of the things that were announced, and the most hyped one for me, and I'm not sure how Adam feels about this, was Quantic Dreams taking on Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be so good because Quantic Dreams, for people who don't know, is all about your decisions affect the gameplay in the future. Yeah. I think it's going to be really good. I don't know. Like, it's just,
I feel like BioWare already did that with Knights of the Old Republic, and there's a Knights of the Old Republic remake coming out.
Yes.
I feel like they might be like just chumming the waters.
But this seems like it's going to be, I mean, Knights of the Republic was an original story as well, but this one seems like Quantic Dreams was given LucasArts' library of unused stuff and they were given free reign.
Yeah, but, and it's a big but, sorry, but Quantic Dream does a lot of like really good story-based and choice-based gameplay, but they're not really great on the action and the swashbuckling elements.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Maybe this is going to be something like that, which I'm, you know what, for me, it's if it's a new take on Star Wars, like every single Star Wars game that comes out is button mashing. Maybe this one's got some button mashing, kind of like Indigo Prophecy on PS2, but it's going to be more story driven, like a Telltale game, but Quantic Dreams.
No. Did you play Knights of the Old Republic? It was turn-based.
Yeah.
It was turn-based.
Well, I don't want this to be turn-based. No, I'm not. No, I didn't say that one. I said, what did I say? Now I can't even remember. It was 10 seconds ago. Indigo Prophecy is not a button mash, but there are button mashing elements from a Quantic Dreams game. That's what I said, Clayton.
Yeah, yes. Okay, I got it.
So you're saying you're going to play the game and he's going to be, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah.
Luke noticed that you said that.
Yeah.
You're going to regret. Your other player will remember that in the future.
Yeah. And then the options will be floating around your head with what button to push.
And then,
I don't know whether or not, like you said, I'm interested in seeing what they do, but what a stunning trailer that was. It was beautiful.
I'm not going to lie.
Landscapes. I'm really curious. Like, I want to see, again, it's hard to tell. Like, look at when you saw like Dead Island, the trailer compared to the gameplay. The gameplay was okay, but like the trailer was just like a smash bang. And then it's like completely republicized, not gameplay, like nothing to do with the actual. Like,
but you guys have played Quantic Dream's other games, right? Like Beyond Two Souls, Heavy Rain, Detroit Becoming Human. Yeah, they always look really good. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But I'm gonna want some button mashing, Brad.
Well, give it a chance. I mean, you never know. They might surprise you.
Smash O to intimidate. Ding 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 ding.
So there was that. Like I said, there were so many world premieres, quote unquote, that it was like, it was hard to keep up. Now, one game that, like, does this really, 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 does it need a remake? No. Saints Row. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, I never liked Saints Row. I don't get why they think a remake is needed. And it's a remake, but they're not calling it a remake. It's like a reboot,
a reimagining.
Yeah. Like, with a whole new thing. Like,
I don't know anybody who's gonna be super stoked for it, who's gonna be like, oh man, remember all this cool stuff? Like, no, it was Saints Row. It was the game that you played while you were waiting for a new GTA to come out.
Yeah.
All I can call it. But
Clayton, if you're gonna talk about what you think you're talking about, you better do the Cole's notes.
Yeah, I'm not doing the Cole's notes, okay?
Okay.
Can we just talk about the amount of applause for the Sonic Frontiers trailer?
I knew this was coming up. Like, it's like, you know what though? It's like if you ever watched Harry Potter, it's like Dumbledore and he was clapping and he's like,
yeah. I was like, oh man, like that was I like really grimaced when I heard that.
What do you
think? Because I was like, good, the mighty have fallen, you know.
It's curious, Sonic games have been so hit and miss.
Yeah,
I saw someone posted on Facebook today and basically said like they like Sonic more for the, not even just the recent movie, but all the different incarnations of TV shows.
Yeah,
like the Sonic Boom show, like the developments they've done with the characters outside of the games, and should it kind of start to lie there? Type of idea. And
well, like Brad,
my concern, even when I saw that, because everyone said open world, I keep making the joke like, watch this be a Sonic game in an open world, but there's no fast travel.
true.
I just
thought of that.
Just go slowly on this big, big map. Like, come on, it's Sonic. Let's fast.
Bravo,
let's
Adam. Bravo. They didn't actually show like any gameplay or anything like that, but I have learned to temper my expectations with regards to that entire franchise. And we could make an entire episode just about what I think about them and what I think about the new ones and the direction that they should go, and that's what Brad's talking about with the Cole's notes. But yeah, I'm always like kind of hopeful because every once in a while we get a good one. Like Sonic Mania was obviously awesome. If you guys played it, it was friggin' awesome.
Sonic Forces was garbage.
Yeah, it was. And Sonic Boom.
Yeah.
Sonic Boom based on the show was crap too. But Sonic Generations was good in certain places. The same with Sonic Unleashed. It was good in certain places. The whole Werehog thing was just stupid. Like they could have just cut that entire half of the game out and it would have been good. But
get all the Werehog out and then you got an actual Sonic game.
we'll stay away from the particulars of the gameplay, because actually, like, it's the second basically teaser trailer that we've seen with no gameplay, and so I have nothing to go on. But I just know that they showed that mountain or whatever it was in the background with the curiously spiraled pathway going up around it, and I was like, oh yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's not Ganon, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were talking about that too. They were making cracking jokes on the stream.
Yeah, so, cha-ching.
Yeah, cha-ching, exactly. another game that I'm really looking forward to is Nightingale. I'm pretty sure that's the yes, that's the survival horror fantasy sim game, essentially,
where every different biome is like a different reality or a different,
yeah, and you can, your friends can jump in and you can build cities that get attacked by giants, and I think, yeah, it looked so good. It was so good. So I think that'll be an interesting one. What did you guys think of the gotcha moment that they pulled with Silent Hill?
To be honest, wasn't paying attention and checked out the second that I found out it was Silent Hill, because
I don't care about
Silent Hill.
But it's not Silent Hill. The creator of Silent Hill. It's like the creator of Mega Man that left to do Mighty Number 9.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And that happened right after, I think, the Sonic Frontier reveal.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. And I'd like just checked out, because anything having to do with Silent Hill, I'm like, nah, I don't care. Yeah.
Well, and it was, yeah, Kojima and Guillermo del Toro again.
Well, the movie that they were doing, yeah.
Yeah, they were talking, and then I think he made the joke saying, oh, that was the best thing I've seen since PT, because they were, like, all working on that.
Yeah.
Actually, Brad, when you first talked about it and said the fake reveal, I thought you were talking about, because my mind, I remember as soon as I saw it was the Alan Wake preview. And when they were first showing that, it was all like the foggy city, like you can hear monsters coming. Yep. And then he even held up a device, which I'm sure is relevant to the Alan Wake series. I haven't played, but I almost thought, like, is he going to have a scratchy radio like going off? Like, and so
flashlight.
That's what I was thinking, was that it was that. And then it came out as the new Alan Wake game, which is cool, because the original Alan Wake, is now Xbox One compatible and Xbox Series X compatible for backwards compatibility.
And it's available on the PlayStation as well now. So, it was more world premieres than anything. But I mean, a lot of what they showed was cool. And then, like, I don't know, I felt that the very last thing with Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss was kind of, It just seemed odd. And I mean, Keanu Reeves is odd in a good way, but it was just like the mannerisms from Bill and Ted that he was doing. And then they showed the trailer for the Matrix movie and then the real time experience, which I've been hearing nothing but good about. You can only play it on PlayStation 5, I think, and PC. No, it's only on PlayStation 5 and Xbox through their stores, but it's free. It was almost like the Jim Carrey introduction to Sonic the Hedgehog 2, where he was like Scottish for whatever reason.
Because like, Jim Carrey just does that.
And it's like, he's talking about his grandfather, and it's like, okay, what does this have to do with Sonic?
We actually went and saw, I missed that, but we went and saw Dune last night. Jack and I went and saw Dune for the first time, finally got to see it in theaters. And they played the Matrix Resurrections trailer at the beginning of the movie. Ooh. And I'm not sure what to think. It looks like it could be cool. It can't possibly be as bad as number two.
No, number two, like, and three are garbage.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, I think everybody has a fondness for the Matrix because of what it was doing at the time with cinema. Yeah. But like, for me, the only one I have any rose-colored glasses for would be
the first one.
After two and three, like, oh, now four is coming out. It's like, holy,
I think
the other two, like,
I think this is 10 years too late. That's what I think.
No, I'm glad because it means that they didn't. it means that they're not riding high off the chance to just make money off the IP. No, but it's hot.
That's
true. Movie has to stand on its own merits.
I mean, you know but I mean? Again, after the Matrix what was the third one? See, Revolutions. I mean, after that, I hope it can't get much worse. But like, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to find that it's too, in their own weird worlds, that it's too close to reality now. And it's going to be one of those like Ready Player One movies.
Did you guys see, Ready Player One was good, but like you said, it depends what they're doing with it. I mean, now and nowadays too, like you don't have payphones to run to, like you just have.
And they made light of that in the movie trailer too. They're like, you don't have to run to a payphone.
Yeah, to jack in, jack out. Well, what did you guys think of? Because I completely agree with Clayton's point that perhaps giving it time meant that they're actually putting consideration in. Mm. That being said, did you guys see Bill and Ted, like the third one with the dog?
I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
I heard it was good.
It was.
We watched it. I don't know. Like it's, you have to like at that point. It's really just like you have to enjoy the series to enjoy what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And I liked Bill and Ted, but like if you just kind of look at it objectively, you'd be going, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah. Like if there's no nostalgia to lean on, and you're just basing the movie on its own merits, can it stand up? And that's what I wonder about.
And that's the thing. Like they're just. It wasn't to me. It wasn't that funny, so it was just like a bunch of stuff that was happening, whereas like when the first one came out, like it was comical, it was funny seeing them do stuff.
Wild Stallions.
Exactly. Like I love that. I do the air guitar Wild Stallions thing all the time, but it's I don't know, I see, think this came up short for me, and that's my fear with this Matrix thing. Again, not making the parallels because of Keanu, but like, is it going to really emerge anything here? Like,
I don't know. It seems like what I got from the trailer was that the original trilogy was basically all part of a larger plan that now is just coming to fruition. So it feels like this movie is planning on separating itself from that other set of movies. Like it's the next level up. I can't say. Maybe it's going to be garbage. Have you seen Keanu Reeves' movie Replicants on Netflix? It's crap. The guy makes crap sometimes. Sometimes he just makes crap.
I'm pretty sure that he's got something in his contract that says he has to keep his long hair. Because
I think he has something in his contract that says he has to accept any movie that comes along. Because Replicants was bad.
I cannot get over him with long hair and a shaved face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it just looked weird.
Replicants was like so low budget though. It was so bad. And I was like, man, like this is the guy who made like the Matrix movies. This is the guy who made like basically all the John Wicks and
John.
Yeah. And so I watched it cause I hadn't heard of it before. And then we watched it and I was like, what in the hell is this? Looks like he shot it in his backyard on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, the thing was, yeah.
Like, maybe he did.
I think we all love Keanu, I'm sure. That's fair to say. But like the John Wick stuff was doing high. So it was just like, this guy's like untouchable. And then it's like, oh my God, like let's interject him into Cyberpunk. And now everybody's going to want to play that because, you know, not only does it look great, but Keanu's in it. And it's just more hype.
And like, I think it's, and it's, like you talk about because of a few bangers and we're getting way off topic, which we'll try and reel in shortly, but another person who was highly bankable until he made a questionable movie was Seth Rogen. And then like, cause he whether you like his style of comedy or not, the movies that he released brought in money. And then all of a sudden he made Zack and Miri and it flopped. And then ever since his flop, like he's done some good movies, but it's been more stinkers than quality movies. I mean, quality. So, I loved the interview. I cannot stop. I just thought it was hilarious. Like it was just a weird, funny movie.
It was funny. I did see it. It was funny.
Seth Rogen is the kind of guy who gives the appearance of being funny, but doesn't actually do anything.
You know what? Like, you should tweet that to Jimmy Kimmel for Seth Rogen to read.
have mean tweets. I don't want to, you know what? Hey, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm just saying I hear about Seth Rogen and I always think Seth Rogen for me is like KFC. I always think it's a good idea until I have it. And then I'm like, man, this just isn't very good.
That's
and
true.
And I didn't actually want this. I can't help it now. I just,
that's okay. We if you don't remember what you wrote down, just scroll to 58 minutes into the podcast. I'll tag him at 58 minutes and be like, Seth Rogen, this is what my buddy thinks of your acting.
I'm sorry, Seth
Rogen. You're like KFC.
I'm just gonna go on record. Sorry, Seth Rogen. I didn't think you were funny in Funny People either.
So getting back to the Game like Awards. I like Seth Rogen too. So Clayton, you're out.
Me too. I like him too. I just don't want to watch his movies. Seems like a nice guy.
So best. So this is where I got confused because Adam said best action adventure, but best action game. The winner was Returnal, which I'm excited about because we're going to be chatting with Jane Perry on Monday. Well, not you two, but Drew and I will be chatting with her. And it's actually kind of fitting because our season premiere, if you will, or series premiere was with David Bateson I've lost contact with my other guests. So the season finale will be Jane Perry. So Hitman to start, Hitman to finish. But the other games in this category were Back for Blood, which these are more multiplayer games to me, but Chivalry 2, Deathloop, Far Cry 6, and Returnal. Returnal actually was a bit of a surprise because a lot of people thought Deathloop was going to take this. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure that Far Cry was probably the like obligatory filler at the bottom of that list.
No, Back for Blood would have been.
It wasn't the best game on that list, and to be completely honest with you, it wasn't even the best Far Cry. You know, like
my favorite is still Far Cry 4. I could not play Far Cry 5, and again, you're talking about the realism. That is as close to shooting an American in the face as you can get is Far Cry 5 without getting reprimanded for it.
I actually liked 4 better than 3 as well. I liked Pagan Min. I thought he was awesome.
Voss is considered one of the best villains.
I know, but you know what? I didn't really care about Voss. He was a one-trick pony. He's like, hey, you know, see how crazy I am. Look at how crazy I am. I didn't care. I was like, whatever, buddy. I don't care about that. He had no character to him. Yeah. He was just hopped up on all that Rook Island cocaine.
So Clayton, another category, this one will actually fit something and you can give your thoughts on this, but best score in music was won by Nier Replicant.
Yes.
Against Guardians of the Galaxy, which is an amazing soundtrack because it was all 80s stuff. Yes. Deathloop, Cyberpunk, and The Artful Escape.
I can tell you that the music from the Nier games is some of the best, most evocative music I've ever heard in a video game. There is absolutely no mistake what game you're playing when you're playing that, when you are listening to that. I've had that. I've had the soundtrack for Automata on my Spotify on constant rotation, basically since that game released. I'm a big fan also of like, I listen to a lot of movie scores, a lot of game scores, and that is head and shoulders above just about anything else out there. It's very, like I said, it's very evocative. There's a real mood to it. I can mix up, like there are some other composers that I can mix up. I can mix up, not Neil Davidge. I can't remember who's doing the Halo games now, but Marty McDonald was doing Destiny and he did all the old Halo stuff and some of the other stuff from like 5, and I haven't really played a whole lot of 6 can come close. So you can kind of mix it up a bit, but none of that music in Nier I could mistake for anything else.
Sure. Also was best narrative, which was won by Guardians of the Galaxy. And that's like, I wouldn't say it was a shocker. There was some really good contenders in that with Psychonauts 2, Life is Strange, It Takes Two, and Deathloop. Again, Deathloop's not a game for everybody. Clayton, you would like Deathloop because it's a first-person Souls-style game. Mm-hmm. It Takes Two is a multiplayer, but it's only two players. I think Guardians of the Galaxy was the right call, and the narrative for the game is incredible. Like the story writing is amazing.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't played it, but I would have thought that Life is Strange would have taken that, because I know that the Life is Strange games are like, they are all about their narrative. They're all about the depth of the characters and the interplay between them, and, you know, the problems that arise when things get out of control. And they also speak to certain demographics too, right? Like emergent demographics, gender and sex and all that kind of thing. Isolationism, like they really have like really, really well-rounded characters. So I'm surprised that like the story in Guardians of the Galaxy must be really fucking good, is all I gotta say.
It is good. It's an original story that's not following the comics or anything. Like there's
okay, you sold me. Sounds great.
I mean, like it's all like it's Square Enix's take on the Guardians. Yeah. They wanted to do something that wasn't the movies, that Chris Pratt wasn't starring in.
Yeah, because he's too busy being Mario.
Yeah. We're not gonna get into that. That's the whole like I don't even think you could do Cole's notes on that. But
Bob Hoskins is turning over in his grave.
If you need any reference on what we're talking about, go back to one of
1994
that we did on Mario in movies.
Yeah, one of our early episodes.
Yeah, when I for still long time fans yeah. For all 105 of you that watch on YouTube, I and guarantee the, you yeah.
And the dozens listening at home,
right? Podcast streaming services around the world. okay, so again, there were quite a few awards that were in this. A lot of them were afterthoughts, not in the sense that like they didn't matter, but again, it just seemed like, oh, we're running out of time, so we're just gonna say five of them all at once, and then we'll do another world premiere. So again, you had mentioned best performance was won by Maggie Robertson, who played Lady Dimitrescu. We, Adam and I, got a chance to chat with Jason Kelly, who played Colt Vaughn in Deathloop. I'm not taking this away from Maggie Robertson at all. She did good, a phenomenal job. And obviously the Academy or whoever does the voting thought so as well. But she didn't do my show, so Jason Kelly should have won.
Wow.
That's not petty at all.
Wow. No, but kickbacks. Look at that.
No, but
we definitely saw some Resident Evil Village love this past year. So
yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping to do some more. Like it's just a matter of getting them at the right time and not seeming like you're being a stalker and sending them constant messages. Like Aaron said, Aaron LaPlante, who played the Duke, he's like, I got an email from some random person that said they got my email from someone else. He's like, hey, fucking lose my email. Like you gotta show respect. Like you can't just creep somebody to the point where you hack into to get their email to send them an email to say hi. Like,
yeah.
But then you also, so I don't know anything about Life is Strange, but you had Erica Mori, Giancarlo Esposito as Anton Castillo, and Ozioma, who played Juliana, who was in Deathloop as well. You would have thought that Deathloop had two actors in it, so they in that category, so they were favored. But Jason Kelly was the standout for me in Deathloop. And like, just, he said, it's like he said, the voice wasn't far from his normal voice. Like John St. John just goes into complete character for Duke Nukem and Big the Cat, Clayton's favorite character of all time. It was just, and again, that story was very well written. It has some absolutely hilarious dialogue between Colt and Juliana. But that category went to Resident Evil and Maggie Robertson. And then the biggest surprise for me, I didn't see this coming. I had my money on Deathloop winning. But game of the year went to It Takes Two, and there is a crap ton of backlash. A lot, like, the Resident Evil fan base is, I'm going to compare them to Star Trek. Like, if it's not what they wanted to win, people are upset. Resident Evil fans are a rabid breed. And I think they felt that Resident Evil got robbed of this award. Is it game of the year? I don't know. Again, I haven't played a Resident Evil since 6. I started playing 7. And as soon as I went into the mansion, I was like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah, so, like Deathloop definitely had its moment this year. Psychonauts 2, I'll be honest, it's the one, it's a property. It's definitely a known property, but it's not the most that I would know of this list. Ratchet and Clank certainly out there. Metroid Dread got a big hype again. Nintendo trying to push it.
But game of the year?
No.
Like I said, Resident Village was definitely like that, had a huge hype train when they were dropping all those things. Like Maggie Robertson's like early performance drops of Lady Dimitrescu at the beginning of the year. Like, look at how much that got memed. Like, that became a whole thing for a while.
So, the thing is, too, is apparently Village is like the spiritual successor to the best Resident Evil that was made, ever made, right? They took all the elements from which one? 4. And they
and put it in first
a lot of them. Exactly. And they apparently, like, it's the more polished version. And I will say that from what I did see of it, the voice acting in it was absolutely top notch. The acting and the set pieces and all that kind of stuff. It was good. Like, it was very, very good. I haven't finished it yet, but.
And we got to chat with two of them or three. Well, I got to chat with three of them and like, congratulations to all of them for being part of regardless if they won game of the year or not, they still won awards. So they can all hold their heads high and say, you know what? I was part of an award-winning game.
Yeah.
Now, like, it's, and I mean, again, it's not for everybody. I'm not a huge survival horror fan. But like Nathan over at Inside the Game loved it. And if I can get any more of the actors or actresses on, I know he would said he'd love to get in on it because he knows the series. I'm just there because I reached out to them and they said yes.
Yeah.
So
sideways this for a second, like Resident Evil 4 won best VR game.
Yeah, it did.
So, but it takes
Clayton, get a Quest 2 and get Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I've got my, I have Resident Evil 7 and I've got a PlayStation VR and I can't even do it, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, I started playing it in VR and I like, there's a part at the very beginning of the game where you can like open the fridge and look inside. And there was like a slime thing across the door. And I was like, it just about made me retch.
Well, It Takes Two. I heard so many good things about the game and they said a lot of people were really enjoying like the elements of play in this. And most people do agree it's best if it's played in a co-op, in a couch co-op.
Yes.
But
you can play it over, you cannot play single player. It is strictly a multiplayer or two-player game, but you can play, like if Adam got it or you got it and I got it, we could play two of us. And that's the style of Joseph Ferris's games. A Way Out is a couch co-op, and then a brother's tale is a co-op game, and you can only play it that way. I have reached out to see if we can get him on the show. I have not heard back yet. I know he's probably still riding high from being the game of the year award winner, but yeah, so we'll see if I can get him on and chat about his experience making these games, because obviously it wins game of the year. A lot of people see something in it. Mm-hmm. And you can actually get it right now for $29 at GameStop.
Wow.
So where everywhere else has it for $49. So I was thinking my wife's not really a gamer, but it might be something for the two of us to play. She can just, I guess, have fun or try to have fun
too. You know, like you can't, if you're looking at the game of the year contender, you can't just look at the production values.
Exactly.
You can't just look at best voice, best this, best that. If you're talking about a game that's got a low price point with good production values that offers something that not a lot of other games offer, that's a huge leg up, because like fresh concepts and fun concepts that cover a wider demographic are always going to win. You know what I mean? You don't have to be a hardcore zombie lover to get into Resident Evil. Kid, like some parents aren't going to let their kids play a Resident Evil game. Mm-hmm. Some adults are going to be scared or put off by the violence in a Resident Evil game. But if you take a game like something that requires, you know, the cooperation of two friends, especially if it's two people sitting on a couch or with the regards to the pandemic now in the last year, anything that makes you feel like you're connected to other people when you're sitting on your couch isolated at home alone, that's a recipe for success. So it's not really surprising. So if the RE fans want to take it to the streets and scream and cry and flip cop cars because they're angry that Resident Evil didn't win, well, that's fine. Based on its technical merits, maybe it is a more technically superior game, but what does it offer? What does it offer that no other game offers?
Exactly.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And let's face it, all the Resident Evil games, they're fun. They're great to play. They do have, you know, great stories to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is at the eighth edition of the same format. You know what I mean?
You sort of know what you're getting into. Yeah. Nobody's going to play a Resident Evil game and be like, oh my God, there's zombies in this.
Yeah. That's so much ammo.
No one told me this. What is this?
Yeah.
But a couple we'll wrap up shortly because I gotta get ready for dinner there.
I got a solid 8% left here.
Okay, too. Yeah, we'll go. So probably one of my most hyped games for coming out next year is Forspoken. I cannot wait for this game. They showed a new character reveal. This game just looks incredible. Third person Square Enix, like not fantasy, but it's like. It's one of those games that you can't classify until you've actually seen it. Probably for me, the biggest miss, because this game, the first game was so-so, but Space Marine 2.
You mean Gears of Warhammer?
Oh my God. Like, so,
man, I saw it. I saw the over-shoulder shot there where he's running and doing the little roadie run. And I was like, oh my God. Clint Buzinski is on the phone with his lawyers right now.
When they showed this, in my head, I'm like, okay, they're showing a lot of stuff that's similar to Space Marine. Now, I don't know if Mark Strong is reprising his role because near the end of the game, spoiler warning for those of you who are listening and have not played a 15-year-old game, he kind of goes corrupt. Like not quite to the point where he's a villain, but are they going to play that out or is this going to be a whole other story? That's all I'm gonna say about that, just because I don't know,
but if it ends up being just another rote cover-based shooter, they missed the boat by about 10 years, you know.
So
like I honestly, like, I saw it and I was like, oh man, like if you guys don't have anything to offer besides what Gears of War already did like six times a decade ago, thanks for Game of the Year 2011.
How about that trailer quick for Hellblade 2?
Yes.
It looked awesome. I never played the first one. That giant reminded me of the baby scenes that I've seen in Resident Evil 8.
you should definitely play the first one. Definitely.
But the second one, if it doesn't come to Game Pass, then I'm SOL. I know the first one is on PS4. Mm-hmm. But the second one is Xbox exclusive. So I think I'm starting to lean. I won't get a hard drive. We talked about this before. I don't really care about the graphic pushing. If I have to get an S, I'll get an S and I'll just get a external hard drive because it's a smaller hard drive. But I don't collect Xbox. So that's...
Well, if you ever get a chance to play it, the first one had an excellent story. It was awesome. It was totally awesome. Hands down.
You know what we should do? We should go full Seinfeld where we keep talking until Adam just cuts out and that's the end of the show. Like you go past empty. How far can we go? No. We'll wrap up there. Is there about, anything?
I got one real quick.
Yes,
one.
Go right ahead, sir.
My biggest WTF moment was actually for Metal Hellsinger. Did you see Metal Hellsinger? you probably don't even remember it. It's a first person shooter in the vein of like the old Doom games.
Oh, with the throat with music. Like a, yeah, I turned like that off when they
death
were
death metal sound.
Yeah,
I'm like, who is this for?
I thought, you know what? I thought that was the sequel to Painkiller because that's the style.
But I was like, what? Like, why are you guys making this? And okay, so you are making it, but why is this at the Game Awards show and why is it a big deal?
Exactly.
Because it looks
why
like
just, is it a big deal?
We Doom already exists.
Exactly. This is the Jar Jar Binks of the Doom world.
Whoa.
Okay. And with that, we are all out of time. And I just wanted to remind you that this episode is not sponsored by GameStop, where you can find Vita titles or ITG, but where you can find Vita titles for 89 cents.
That's the lock of the week.
That is. That is the Glenn Jones special. Quick, wow. Just quickly, where can you guys be found? We do this all the time, but go ahead. I'm starting to channel Keanu Reeves.
I know first. Kung Fu.
I'm going first, so before I cut out. Squinty McG on YouTube. You can find me there, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. But I make retro videos and go through a lot of peripherals and other devices there. So check me out, Spenny McG.
And I'm the Iron Hobo on YouTube, though I haven't put up anything recently or even a while ago.
Like the past decade.
But you can find any of my art on Instagram at the_IronHobo.
And as always, Northern Nerdcast on Instagram, Facebook at the Northern Nerdcast, Twitter, Northern Nerdcast, but cast is spelt CST. Don't ask me why. Don't at me. We are ending there. Goodbye.